that needs any counsel, you're more than welcome to come to... No, I'm just kidding. We know nothing about marriage, but we are excited. Deputation, just traveling around to different churches. It's kind of been an extended honeymoon for us since we're able to just travel around together the whole time. And we've been loving it. I've been on deputation, just traveling around, raising monthly funds to go to South Africa since August. And the Lord has provided us with a little bit over 50% of our support. So we are just praising God for that. But I'd like to get into Philippians chapter 1 this morning. And I want to help challenge you guys this morning to be more effective for Jesus, to get the gospel around the world. And I truly believe that Paul has the mindset that each and every one of us needs. You know, Paul, he writes many of the books of the New Testament, the Pauline epistles, and he has a bunch of different themes. Some are focused on, like, you know, the race, athletics and stuff. Others are about the war. You know, the truth is that we're in a spiritual war. We were talking about that this morning, spiritual warfare. And Paul, he is very set on being prepared for war. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, he talks about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And in that, he says, a good soldier of Jesus Christ endures hardness. And that's exactly what is going on here in Philippians chapter 1. And so as we get into this, it all starts with the Great Commission, I believe. Because the truth is that we were given a commission to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We were there to give the gospel out so that people can know about Jesus Christ. And so as we're in here, I want to challenge you today to be like Paul, as he has this mindset. And just to give you a little bit of context of what Paul is doing here, Paul is writing this book from prison, right? And so Paul writes this book, but he has a solid focus. He writes it on joy, and he can be a joyous author in this passage. And as he writes chapter 1, it's because of his mindset, of where his mind is at, his one solid focus in life. And that's what I want to challenge you to do today, is to have the same focus that Paul had. You know, growing up, people kept telling me, hey, you need to be like Jesus. Hey, you need to be like Paul. And here I'm thinking, man, I am a basket case. Like, I'm anything but that. You expect me to be just like Jesus? But my pastor always told me, inch by inch is a cinch. Yard by yard, it's hard. So he said, just take one step at a time. And in the long span of things, you'll get closer to being like them. And so in order to be, I want you to be like Paul, but I just want to give you this one step today, and that's to have the same focus that Paul has. Because as Paul is writing this book from prison, the context is that he's writing this book to a church that is worried about him. He was preaching the gospel, and he was illegally arrested because of it. And now he's kind of waiting for trial. He doesn't know if he's going to die. He doesn't know if he's going to live. But all he knows is that he wants to focus on Jesus, on the furtherance of the gospel. So he writes this book focusing on joy, but he wants to update this church that's worried about him. And so he writes this book, and he says these verses, and we're going to get into them today. So if you don't mind reading with me, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, it says this, and I apologize for my voice, it's a little hoarse. I was at camp the Monday through Friday, and so I was yelling at a bunch of campers, trying to get them excited about Jesus. So please pardon that. But we're going to get into Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. It says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. So Paul writes this book, and he says, hey guys, look, fellow brethren, he writes this to the church, and he says, look, I want you to understand. All these things that have happened to me, meaning the imprisonment, the beatings, the humiliation, the all these adverse things have happened to me for one solid reason. He says it's for the furtherance of the gospel. So whenever he writes this book, and this is the attitude that I want you to have, he says, it doesn't matter what happens to me. It doesn't matter what's happened or what's going to happen. As long as Christ is preached and the gospel is furthered, it is all okay. That's his whole attitude, and that's what I want you to understand. The reason that he can write a book on joy is because he's not focused on himself. He's focused on the furtherance of the gospel. He's focused on people hearing about Jesus. He's focused on that great commission that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. And you know, it's a very, very simple commandment. It's a very simple command and commission. Go tell people about Jesus. Go tell people about me. That's what he said. And as Paul writes this book, that's his whole focus in this passage. And he's saying, look, the things that have happened to me have happened for the furtherance of the gospel. And then we get into verse 13 and he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. You know, as Paul is focused on the gospel, he gets illegally arrested, right? He gets illegally arrested and he's put into the stocks. He's put into house arrest. And so he's writing this and he says, hey guys, look, I know I was put into prison and these things that are happening to me so that the gospel could be furthered. But then he says, look, this is what's happening because of my attitude. This is what's happening. God is blessing this attitude, this heart attitude of the furtherance of the gospel. So he says, look, Christ is manifest in the palace and in all other places. So Paul is saying, look, the gospel is getting out. The gospel is being furthered. He says, look, I'm put into prison. And if you're like me, a lot of the times, we think about ourselves, like Pastor was saying in Sunday school, he was saying, look, Paul is in prison. You know, if I was in prison, I'd be thinking about some good food, right? I'd be like, Lord, please get me out of here. I need some Chick-fil-A and some Taco Bell. Like, I need some good comfort, right? Because I'm focused on myself. But Paul writes this book on joy, and the reason he can is because he's not focused on himself. He's not focused on what is going to happen to himself. He's kind of waiting on trial to see if he's going to die. And yet he's focused on the gospel. And he's writing this and he says, Christ is manifest in the palace and in all the places. Meaning that he is going around and he's telling these people about Jesus. And this is the cool thing because he's smart. So he sees what happens and he's kind of chained up to people for hours at a time. These Roman guards, he's chained up to them. And instead of saying, Lord, get me out of here. I need some good food. He says, look, hang on a sec. So I'm chained up to this guy here and I'm chained up to this man here. You mean to say, I can preach the gospel and they can't run away from me. So he just starts telling more and more people about Jesus because his whole life is focused and centered around the gospel getting out and people hearing about our truly loving Savior, Jesus Christ, and how he died on the cross for our sins and how he could rise from the dead 3 days later for us. That's what he's focused on. And by the end of it, he says, look, guys, the gospel is getting out because I'm talking about it. You know, I'm not very good at math. I'm really not. But the way that this equation works is you tell people about Jesus, and they hear about Jesus. I mean, it's really simple, but the truth is a lot of the times people are not hearing about Jesus nowadays. And it's because we're not talking about Jesus. You know, the truth of the matter is that we need to have this attitude that Paul has, saying that the gospel needs to get around the world. The gospel needs to be furthered. You know, it's a very, very simple task, like I said. And just to give you an analogy, you know, Pastor here, he's a very great pastor. I really do appreciate him letting us come. But you know, he's very fashionable. He's got a nice police tie on. But let's say one day he says, you know what, Chase, since you're a missionary and you work for a living, why don't you come to the church and you paint this church for us? And so he says, you know what, I want it to be a nice, you know, fashionable brown. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm not the best painter, but I'll do it. And so I start painting. The one day he gives me a week span so he doesn't come and check up on me. I start painting this wall, and I get to this wall, and I get to the back wall. And you know, I'm very, very, I just start getting bored. So I say, you know what, my little sister, she really likes unicorns. So I start painting a mural of a unicorn on the back wall. And you know, I'm trying to help out the pastor. I'm trying to make this church a little bit more lively because, you know, a fashionable brown, it might not be the best thing for it. So I paint some unicorns there, and then I finish the wall. And then the next week, church starts, and the pastor walks in. He says, Chase, what in the world did you do? I gave you a simple task, just paint the walls brown, and you couldn't even do that right. I mean, why is there a unicorn on my back wall? And you know, the truth of the matter is that he gave me a simple task, and I didn't do it correctly. But a lot of times, that's how our Christian lives are as well. Because God has given us a simple task. To go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And a lot of the times, we find ourselves focused on other things. Getting bored, sometimes even not being, basically painting unicorns, right? Sometimes we paint unicorns in our lives whenever we ought to be doing the task at hand, getting the gospel out to the world. But that's exactly what Paul is focused on in this passage. He's focused on the furtherance of the gospel, so he starts telling people about Jesus. And not only does he tell people about Jesus, and not only do people hear about Jesus, but then we get to verse 14, and we see that this is making other people get bold about Jesus too. Look at verse 14 with me. He says this. He says, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." So not only is Paul preaching the gospel, but as he's doing this, he's waiting on trial. He's not sure what's going to happen to him, but he says, "You know what? I'm going to preach anyway." And then his fellow Christians, they see this. They see that Paul is continuing to preach the gospel. And this gets them bold. This gets them confident about the gospel. And they say, "Look, if Paul can do it, so can I." So they start preaching the gospel too. You know the crazy thing about this? Is that boldness is contagious. You know that confidence to preach the gospel? That is contagious. But as this boldness is in our lives, each and every one of us are bold about something. But the truth is that we're not always bold about the things of God. You know, I'm a big college football fan. Now, I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan, so in your faces. No, I'm just kidding. No, I love any type of sports. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes I'm more bold about college football than I am the answer to the world. That not ought to be so. We got to be bold about what God wants us to be bold about. We got to be bold about the gospel being furthered. And can I tell you, my dear friends, God wants the gospel to be furthered. But as he's doing this, he says that your boldness is contagious. Paul is saying that because he was preaching the gospel, his fellow Christians started becoming bold about the gospel too. And the great thing about this is that means the gospel is being furthered in the world. The gospel is being furthered. And my dear friends, I can tell you that if you be bold about Jesus, your friends can be bold. Your friends will become bold about Jesus as well. And that means that the gospel can be furthered. You know, Paul was a great missionary. He was getting the gospel out. But I think that something that made him more effective than anything is him creating boldness in other people. Because one person, they can go out into the world and they can do a great job and God can use them. But imagine if that one person got all of these people to be bold as well. That would reach the world a lot quicker. I mean, imagine if each and every one of us in this room were as bold as Paul for the gospel. Imagine how the country of the United States would be reached with the gospel if every Christian was as bold as Paul. Right? I mean, we would get the gospel around the world. But the fact of the matter is that we're not as bold as we ought to be. We're not as confident as we ought to be. You know, giving out the gospel is a little intimidating sometimes. You know, especially in the world today. I mean, the world today is telling us that our own personal convictions, what we believe, our spiritual conversations are for us and nobody else. Don't tell anybody else about it. You know, coexisting. But the truth of the matter is that there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. There's only one way where we can go up to God and he can say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," and allow us to come in, is through Jesus Christ. But my dear friends, the majority of the world does not know that. Paul says that the world was unreached, and he speaks that to our shame, to the Christian's shame. My dear friends, we got to be bold about Jesus because people need to hear, and that our friends can be bold as well. You know, as we talk about this, my friend back in Bible college, whenever I was there, his name is Nate Wilkerson. And he came to Bible college. He has an Instagram account called Christ is Life. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's probably not as big as I think it is. But he came to my Bible college, and every single conversation, I mean, this guy's a nutcase. Every single conversation, you'd be like, "Hey, Nate, how's your car doing?" He's being like, "Oh, it's great, brother. Christ is life." And he just said, "Christ is life," like a southern guy over there. He just keep saying, "Christ is life, Christ is life, Christ is life." And we're like, "Man, this guy's a nutcase." But you know, by the end of the 2 years of Bible college that everybody was there, guess what they were screaming? "Christ is life." You know why? Because boldness is contagious. And my dear friends, if you are focused on the gospel getting further, and you are bold about Jesus, I truly believe that other believers will become bold about Jesus too. And that is how we're going to reach the world with the gospel. That is how we are going to do the task at hand. We're not going to paint unicorns. We're going to focus on the gospel being furthered. And that's exactly what Paul does. And because of it, God starts blessing it. The gospel goes out, and then his fellow Christians become bold as well. That's the exciting stuff that we have here going on today in Philippians chapter 1. And that's why Paul could be joyful, because he's focused on the gospel being furthered. And God blessed it. And then we get into verse 15 and 16. It says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So he says, look, guys, there's two different types of people that are trying to preach the gospel. Some guys, they're over here, and they're doing it because they don't like me. They're doing it out of envy and strife, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. They're trying to make matters worse for me. They're not doing this because they want people to be saved, and they're not doing this because they love me. They're doing this because they want matters to be worse for me. Maybe they want my trial to go a lot worse than it does. But nonetheless, they're preaching the gospel. They're doing it to maybe make matters worse for Paul. Then on the other side, it says that the other people, they're doing it out of love. They're doing it because they love Paul and they love people. They know that the world needs the gospel. They know that Paul's desire is that people hear. So they're right here and they're saying, man, I'm going to do this for Paul. But as Paul is doing this in the middle, he sees these people doing it out of envy and strife. And he's seeing these people doing it out of goodwill and love. And then he says in verse 18, he says, what then? We see these people doing it out of bad and good. And he says, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and that's why I rejoice. He says, the reason I can rejoice is because no matter what happens to me, the gospel is being furthered. He says, these guys, they're doing it to make matters worse for me. But you know what? It's okay, because they're still preaching the gospel. And these guys over here, they're doing it out of love. And you know what? It's okay, because they're still preaching the gospel. He says, it doesn't matter what happens in my life, because it wasn't focused on himself. You know, the truth of the matter is that sometimes we focus more on ourselves than we do the furtherance of the gospel. And that is something that convicts me almost every day. Because I like my success, and I like my family, I like my job, and I like me, me, me. But the truth is that if we're going to effectively reach the world with the gospel, we got to be focused on the furtherance of the gospel. We got to be focused on Christ being preached. And that's why Paul could rejoice. Because he was focused on the gospel being preached. And then in verse 20, this is one of my favorite verses. I say this about every other verse, but this is one of them. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So Paul here, he pours out his heart. He says, look, guys, if there's anything that I want in my life, it's that I will never, ever, ever be ashamed of the gospel. Because he realized how vital the gospel was. He knew the importance of Jesus Christ being made known to the world. And he says, look, if there's anything in my life, it's that I won't be ashamed of Jesus. Like Pastor said this morning, if Paul was not bold about Jesus, the jailer would never have found Christ. I mean, Paul realized the importance of his boldness. In this passage, Christ would never have been manifest in the palace and in all other places. And his fellow brethren, they would never have become bold if Paul wasn't bold. Imagine if the great missionary Paul would never have been bold. We know that a lot of people probably would not have heard the gospel. A lot of people would not be in heaven right now because of it. But Paul knew the importance of the gospel. He's a very smart man, and he said, look, if there's anything that I want in this life, my earnest expectation and my hope, my confidence, is that I will never be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, Christ will be made big in my life. It doesn't matter what happens to me. I just want Christ to be made big in my life. I want the gospel to be furthered. He says this because he realizes the gospel is vital. You know, I spent 6 months in Peru, South America, with one of the missionaries that you support, Mitch McCormick. And whenever I was there, I didn't speak a lick of Spanish to begin with, but I tried to begin learning Spanish. And so I found a park behind my house, and whenever this happened, I started trying to practice my Spanish, right? So I go there, and I try to speak Spanish, and I go, "Hola, ¿cómo estás?" And for those who don't know, I speak like a giant white guy. Like, that's the truth be told. And the reason I know this is because as the 30 guys that are playing soccer there, they just stop playing soccer. Like, the ball is still rolling. They stop in their tracks, and they just look at me. And then they just start laughing at me. And I'm like, what did I just get myself into? But as I continue going to that park with Mitch McCormick and some of my other friends, I started learning more and more Spanish. And my roommate bought a 1987 Volkswagen Beetle. And we fit 11 people into that car to bring to church. Like, it was amazing. God was blessing. But I remember one of the young men. His name was Luis Fernando. And Luis was a devout Catholic. But, you know, growing up, I got saved from a vacation Bible school, and I was bribed with candy and Coke to go there. So I kind of bribed Luis to go out to lunch with me. I said I'd buy him some Coke and pizza if he came out to lunch with me. And he did, and I started preaching the gospel to him. I spoke Spanish enough to get the gospel out. I shared John 3:16 with him. ¿Por qué de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda mas tenga vida eterna? I started sharing Jesus Christ with him, and Luis Fernando ended up connecting with Mitch, which was great, and he ended up coming to church, and he got saved, and man, did God bless it. But what surprised me was what came afterwards, because he started telling me about his life, and he told me a couple of weeks before I met him, his best friend committed suicide. And he said that because his friend committed suicide, he felt like nothing was left in this world for him. So he was going to do it too. And then he said, but then I met Jesus. And I realized that there is worth in this world because of him. I'm just like almost dumbfounded because I'm like, whoa. It just showed me that the gospel is vital right now. You know, the truth of the matter is that we don't know when people are going to die. We don't know whenever the next person is going to fall dead because of a brain tumor or a heart attack or cancer. We're not sure when people are going to die. But Paul, he knew that we didn't know when people are going to die. But he didn't know that Scripture said today is the day of salvation. So he said, look, I got to get the gospel out now. It doesn't matter what's going to happen to me. It doesn't matter what's going to happen in my life, whether it be by life or by death. I just want Christ to be magnified in my life. Whether it be by life or by death, he was willing to give up everything so that the gospel could be furthered. And that is the attitude that I want to challenge you today to have. It's a simple attitude. Just focus on the gospel with your lives. Focus on furthering the gospel because he says, it doesn't matter what happens to me. You know, if I die, it's great gain in verse 21. He says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, if I die, it's going to be great. But if I live, I'm going to live for him. I'm willing to give everything for him. You know, the truth of the matter is that we were bought with a price whenever we accepted Jesus as our Savior. Jesus paid our sin debt. We got to live for him. We got to give everything up. And the truth is that sometimes God is wanting to bless us and he's wanting to use us like he used Paul. But we try to set up walls and we try to draw lines in the sand saying, God, stay back. And God's over here saying, look, I want to bless you and I want to get the gospel out. Let me use your life. And you say, a lot of times we do this. We say, you know what, God, I'll give to tithe and I'll give to missions. But don't ask me to go out to Saturday outreach. I'll give the missions, but don't ask me to become a missionary. And I don't know what it is in your life that you're drawing a line in the sand saying, God, stay back. But if there's something in your life that you're saying that God is trying to bless and he's wanting to use your life to further the gospel, but sometimes those lines are hindering it. It's hindering the gospel. And I have those and I'm preaching to myself. But we gotta erase those lines in the sand and say, God, I'm willing to give my life so that the gospel could be furthered. I'm willing to give my life so that the gospel could be furthered to the around the world. My dear friends in church, I don't know What is in your life that's holding you back from saying, look, I'm willing to give it all? But Paul, he was willing to give everything for the gospel. He was willing to give everything so that the gospel could be furthered. And he said, look, if it means that I die, it's okay. I just want Christ to be magnified in my life. And as he had this attitude, God blessed it. God truly blessed it. People started hearing about Jesus. People got saved like that jailer. His fellow Christians became bold, all because Paul was allowing God to work in his life. And we got to do the same thing. We got to have that focus and that attitude of the gospel being furthered. Because we need to be able to say, all of this that's happened in my life has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. I want to challenge you to take that step to be like Paul today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for everything. And as Pastor Caleb is coming up, I pray that you would help us to be more like Paul. Help us to be bold with the gospel. Lord, I know that this book is written for joy. I know that Paul could be joyful because of his attitude, because of his focus, and how he's focused on you. Lord, as he says in chapter 4, that we need to rejoice in you, and truly we need to. And I thank you for what you've done in our lives, and I thank you for salvation. And I pray that we do find our joy in you. Lord, I pray that we'd have the heart, attitude, and focus to get the gospel around the world, so that more people could have that peace with you, so that there won't be enemies with you, but instead be joyful, knowing that they have salvation. I'll give you praise for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother Chase. Great reminder from God's Word as we look in Philippians, that joy that we can have. So thankful for the relationship that we can have with our Lord and Savior.